Morning.
Morning, Your Honor.
Good morning. Is it Mr. Strockler?
It is, Your Honor.
Would you like to reserve any rebuttal?
2 minutes.
Two?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. And who will argue for the estate?
I will argue for the estate.
Okay.
Charlene Moore.
All right, Mr. Strockler.
Your Honor, please support. Bob Raffar, I'm here on behalf of the Uninsured Employers Fund. Ms. Morgan, if it pleases the court, we'd like 7.5 minutes each.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Strockler, you may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Please the court. Adam Strockler on behalf of the appellant, Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company. We're here primarily to ask the court to instruct the commission to withhold a ruling binding upon Nationwide until such time as the underlying declaratory judgment action has been resolved.
Right, you would agree that the commission doesn't have the authority to determine coverage between two conflicting carriers?
Yes, Your Honor. That point's not been appealed.
All right. So all we have is whether or not the commission erred in not giving you a continuance to await the decision of circuit court as to the declaratory judgment.
There was a second argument in the brief. It is not my primary argument, which is that by having that the commission doesn't have jurisdiction to bind the Nationwide in the circumstance. That's okay. Certainly not my primary argument today.
All right, but that argument was since they don't have jurisdiction to resolve coverage questions, they don't have jurisdiction to enter an award against Nationwide.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, sir.
Thank you. So moving on to our request that the commission withhold ruling against Nationwide until such time as the declaratory judgment action is resolved, we contend that this was an abuse of discretion by the commission, that by failing or by insisting upon ruling upon Nationwide at this point, Nationwide is being put in a position of irreparable harm in several respects. The first and simple.
Well, isn't the real issue whether the claimant, the state, would suffer from irreparable harm if the proceedings are stayed until, and I'm assuming that the circuit court hadn't entered up judgment on that case yet either, have they?
No, they have not.
Has even a hearing been set in that circuit court?
No, it has. Yes, actually, I believe it has. There is a trial date, I believe. I don't want to misspeak. I don't know, Your Honor.
When we checked the docket, we didn't find anything that's been set.
But your position is that the estate. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I may not have seen it.
No, I suspect Your Honor is correct.
The decedent's estate should not have any compensation at all until this declaratory judgment action is resolved.
Your Honor, that is largely up to the commission. One possibility that the commission could avail itself of is to enter an award and instruct the fund to step up and start paying the uninsured employers fund. That would be one way to resolve it. But if, in fact, the fund is not put in that position, or if the commission will not instruct the fund to do so, then yes, that would be our position, that the estate should not receive funds at this point.
Can I ask you on that, because you said it would be a minimal inconvenience to the estate, I think is your language in your brief.
I think it is wrong.
I mean, this gentleman, of course, is the claimant. Everyone agrees it's compensable. I mean, he's dead. His family, his widow's getting absolutely nothing. Of course, he's not getting salary anymore either. Why is that a minimal inconvenience to the estate?
Well, Your Honor.
And his family.
Because, unfortunately, the compensation that would be provided for by the act is something in the area of $80 a week. It's been 2 years since the gentleman has passed, and so we're looking at a sum of $8,000.
If you're hungry, $80 is a lot of money.
It is, Your Honor. The medical bills in the case are currently in excess of $120,000. And so I don't want to belittle the loss to the family. And $8,000 is $8,000. And as the court has pointed out, that is money that a hungry person can use. But in comparison to the harm that would be suffered by Nationwide, I believe it is comparatively less, especially because, again, the commission has the ability to order the fund, I believe, to pay, and the fund could step up at this time.
And so then if the circuit court were to rule that Nationwide should have to pay.
Yes.
Then you would reimburse the fund.
And that's a very important point, Your Honor, because I believe by statute the fund has the ability to demand that payment by Nationwide. On the other hand, should Nationwide begin paying and then prevail in the circuit court action, I do not believe, we'll certainly argue to the contrary at the time, but my strong suspicion is that Nationwide would not be able to demand reimbursement by the fund.
Why is that?
Because the fund is a creature of statute that has very specific statutory provisions as to its ability to seek reimbursement. There is a case that is cited in our brief that speaks to what the fund is there to do and what the fund is not there to do. And the fund is not there to reimburse insurers. Heaven forbid, I'll be in front of a court sometime arguing the other side of that, but I'm not optimistic about it. I believe the fund is not there to reimburse an insurer. On the other hand, if the court has read the opinion of the commission almost invites Nationwide to hold off on paying. It says, well, we really don't do the Nationwide irreparable harm here because you can appeal it, you can continue to appeal it and thereby delay proceedings. And then also says, and then you always have the possibility of not paying, because what the commission says is, sure, there's a 20% penalty, but that 20% penalty is, it argues, within the discretion of the commission. However, and again, this is one of those points that if pressed, I'll wind up arguing the other side, but candidly before the court today, what that commission's, what the rule says within the act is that the carrier may be excused from the 20% penalty for good cause shown beyond the control of the carrier. So in fact, I think the carrier would be subjected to the 20% penalty, which it would not be able to seek reimbursement for. Similarly, there would be interest accrued, which the carrier would not be able to proceed, seek reimbursement for, I do not believe. There's also, and this actually goes back to a point that Your Honor, Judge Frank made. You said, well, isn't the estate greatly prejudiced? And one of the arguments that I make in the brief is that there is a statute, 65.2601.1, which speaks to the fact that the medical providers...
I'm sorry, could I have that again?
It's 65.2601.1. And what that statute provides, Your Honors, is that collection activity from the medical providers shall cease until the workers' compensation action is resolved. And this is very beneficial to the claimant's family, to the estate, because while all this is going on in the commission, the medical providers cannot be knocking at the door. However, should this the Workers' Compensation Commission be permitted to enter a ruling against judgment, a ruling against Nationwide at this time, that statute would cease to operate. And then the medical providers would be entitled to seek collection action against the family, I believe, while Nationwide is not stepping up to pay. So while I would be surprised if the estate's attorney would step up and argue this point in my favor, I would contend that we are actually acting to at least some extent the estate's benefit.
But not on the compensation.
Not on the compensation, Your Honor, no. That must be conceded.
The whole purpose of the Act is to make timely awards without delay, because the compensation is a substitute for earnings.
Understood.
And people need earnings or the equivalent thereof.
That is correct, Your Honor. But on the other hand, it's got to be done through due process of law. And to act, Nationwide has rights in this matter as well. And to ask Nationwide to have to pay when, in fact, it is not indebted to, can't outweigh the claimants and the fact that we understand that there is a high premium placed upon rapid payment of benefits to the family. But having said that, Your Honor, that cannot simply outweigh Nationwide's being forced to pay funds it is not required to pay.
Your first assignment of error actually says the commission doesn't even have jurisdiction to enter an award.
It does, Your Honor.
Said it does, meaning it has jurisdiction.
No.
You
are correct. That is my first
okay.
Assignment of error. Thank you.
So
would that were that easy?
So if that's correct, if we were to agree with you on that, the
yes,
commission
sir.
Didn't have jurisdiction. Why couldn't that then be a slippery slope that would simply, I mean, you talked about some of the practical, real-world issues from your standpoint.
Yes, Your Honor.
Why couldn't that become a real-world problem and a slippery slope for claimants in the future?
Your Honor, I can't say that it wouldn't be, but that's why we have a legislature. We would need to turn to the legislature to address that problem. It would be a danger.
Because essentially, insurance companies would then have a lot of ability and perhaps incentive to fight claims.
I suppose, Your Honor, one of the things I can offer is that there are provisions within the code having to do with the wrongful denial of claims. And so there already is, we could argue, a procedure in place or a statutory structure for penalizing carriers that attempted to avail themselves of that. But I can't say that that would do the job on its own. There could be a slippery slope, and the legislature would have to address it. But slippery slope, Your Honor, aside, that doesn't change the facts here that Nationwide is being put in an inequitable position.
Because of your argument that essentially there was fraud in the process when this insurance was agreed to?
Not because of our argument, because of, in fact, we believe there was fraud. I'm sure Your Honors have read the brief. So in closing, we ask that you remand the matter back to the commission. We ask that you ask the commission to withhold ruling at this time.
Can you comment a little bit about, because the in Chesapeake Circuit Court is where your declaratory action was
filed. It is,
Your Honor. And that was filed in July, pretty quickly in July of 2013,
yes,
after the deputy commissioner's hearing, I believe.
Yes, almost immediately.
Has there been any effort to really get a hearing there? You know,
has a precipice been filed?
I do not know that, Your Honor. I would expect not. I wouldn't want to make a misrepresentation to the court. I'm not.
Well, the way you get on the hearing docket is file a precipice, don't you?
I don't practice in that venue, Your Honor, but I would assume that that's how it's done in many courts, yes.
So obviously, Nationwide hadn't had any real desire to bring this to a conclusion.
I can't speak as to Nationwide's desires beyond this action, Your Honor.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. Anything further?
No, thank you.
You have 3 minutes left.
Thank you very much.
All right, who wants to go first?
Ms. Warren has graciously offered me up to be honest.
All right, now, y'all want to divide it. I'm going to let that, I'm not going to keep time on that. Y'all resolve that any way you want to. You got a total of 15 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll be happy. Frankly, I don't think I'll take the 7.5 minutes, which would be the halfway point for me.
All right.
May it please the courts, I'm Bob Rappaport. I represent the Uninsured Employers Fund in this case. What I think must be remembered above all is there was a valid policy of insurance that was written. Premium was paid. This was not a one-time policy that was written. This
and
is a policy that was written many times.
It wasn't canceled. It wasn't revoked.
It was not canceled. There is still no cancellation. No one has ever filed anything that the policy has been canceled. All that's been raised is that the policy should be void ab initio.
And you're referring to 65.2-811?
Or 804 with regard to cancellation, Your Honor.
Okay.
It's important, if I might, just to back up just for a moment, to sort of give the court a timeline. Date of accident is August 29th, 2012. An application for hearing was filed on November 2, 2012. And the case was initially set for hearing by a notice dated January 15, 2013 for March 12, 2013. It was continued and a notice was sent out February 11, 2013, resetting the hearing for April 9, 2013. It was continued again and the matter was by notice dated March 14, 2013, the case was set for trial on June 11, 2013, and the case was ultimately heard on July 9, 2013, and a declaratory judgment action was filed on July 12, 2013. I represent a lot of insurance companies and I represent the Uninsured Employers Fund. On behalf of a lot of insurance companies, if you can delay payment, life's good. On behalf of the Uninsured Employers Fund, who Mr. Stauschler thinks is the one who ought to bear the laboring oar in this,
then I think some more clarification is required. By statute, the uninsured employer's fund does not make payment until such time as the employer cannot make payment. And the employer in this case was Mr. Harrison's direct employer. D&W Garage is actually the statutory employer. So if the direct employer can't make payment or won't make payment, then it befalls D&W Garages, whether they make payment or can't make payment. And only then, after they either can't or won't, does the fund is ordered then by the commission to step in and make payment. What Mr. Stauschler would have us do is go through all of that, have the fund make payment, at which point the fund then proceeds action against the employer and the statutory employer, all seeking to recover money, all while Nationwide sits on its hands. That is fundamentally unfair. This matter cannot ride along the way it rode along and not be heard.
How do you answer Mr. Strockler's argument that, well, once we've paid the money to claimant estate, that the claimant's estate will then be liable for it to the medical providers, and then if we prevail later on, we won't be able to get it back. Plus, if we pay any interest that's accumulated and the uninsured employer's fund later does have to pay, they're not going to pay us for the interest, so we'll be out of that too.
But again, based on the timeline, whose fault is that? If this is a hearing that had been taking place in late 2012 or early 2013, that argument might hold water. But I don't think it can hold any water given the timeline we have in this case.
On the interest issue.
On the interest issue or on the penalty issue.
What about if we have paid the claimant's estate and then it's found that Nationwide shouldn't have had to do that, then we can't get the money back.
I can't speak for the fund with regard to whether or not they would or would not be liable for those payments. With regard to the medical bills, the commission does have in its power to withhold any action pursuant to the code section, to withhold any action, and Nationwide could certainly ask the commission to do that, which they did not do, ask the medical providers to withhold any action pursuant to 6.01.1, not to take any action either against Nationwide or against the estate of the claimant. That, no one seems to care about prejudice to the medical profession. I'm not here to argue that they should or shouldn't. My point is that, and Judge Frank made the point of it, it is an extremely slippery slope that we go down. The commission has jurisdiction to hear cases. If a carrier can simply, and whether it's the carrier for a statutory employer or a direct employer, and you can go up the line. Sometimes there are multiple potential employers. But if a carrier can go up the line and say, hey, we're not liable because there's some problem in underwriting, because there's some problem in the contract that was written, because something wasn't done to our liking and the underwriters now have a problem with it, or the auditor didn't pick this up, which is essentially what this case is about, whether an auditor picked something up or not, then the system stops. You can't rule. Or, if you take Mr. Stauschler's position, you can rule just not against us, but let the employer, who thought he had coverage but now doesn't have coverage, let them worry about it, or let the fund worry about it. The fund has limited access, assets. I'm not suggesting that Nationwide does not, but the fund is a creature of statute and is funded by contributions, not voluntary contributions, mind you, but by contributions made by the insurance companies. There is a budget under which the fund acts, and if the fund is put in a position to have to start making payments on claims where there is insurance coverage, then the fund gets put out of business. And then where do we go? Then claimants are just completely out of luck because the fund is out of money. And the fund does have a limited budget, and they can't just go and ask for more money from the state. If I might, in conclusion, although I still have some time, in conclusion, you've got a situation where Nationwide, I don't want to say is the architect of the problem, because I don't think Nationwide sits back and just say, well, let's wait until an accident and then investigate our policies. But once there's an accident, and there are multiple accidents, by the way, which are all will be before all before this court eventually, or this decision will render those other actions moot, you cannot sit back and just await the commission to stay proceedings or issue judgments against other parties while Nationwide, one of the parties aggrieved in this action, does nothing. Thank you all.
You're pretty close to 7.5 minutes.
He did excellent. Good morning, I'm Charlene Morin, and I represent the estate of Philip Harrison. And I would like to thank the court for their time, and I will be brief. Mr. Rappaport basically touched on what I was going to touch on regarding jurisdiction. I believe the court, the commission, and the deputy commissioner had complete scope and power to do what they did at the time that they did it. And I believe that this court has the jurisdiction to render a decision denying the appellant's claim. And let me tell you why. As Mr. Rappaport indicated, there has been no indication that the insurance policy that was issued has been voided or canceled. So if we accept the appellant's argument, then essentially what we do is allow insurance companies to stall the workers' compensation process. The commission did exactly what it should have done. It had a case. The parties stipulated to absolutely everything. All we have, and that's at the Joint Appendix 34, they stipulated that he was working for the employer. They stipulated that he was electrocuted. They stipulated as to the average weekly wage. The only issue, and let me correct myself, and the only, we also stipulated that subject to the resolution of a coverage dispute with the employer, that Nationwide was responsible for any water benefits the commission may enter. Under the facts of this case, the commission did exactly what they should have done within their scope and power. And so we ask that jurisdiction be held and the commission's decision in that respect be upheld. Going to irreparable harm, Judge Bill indicated that the employer, the insurance company in their brief, page 11, indicated that this was a minimal inconvenience to the estate. I'm here on behalf of Ms. Dorothy Harrison, the sole dependent of the decedent, Philip Harrison, and I will tell you it's not a minimal inconvenience. That if there's any irreparable harm that has been done in this case, it's the irreparable harm that she has had to wait while we fight out this case in court, while she waits and gets nothing. She was dependent upon her husband, as it has been found and stipulated too. And so this has, again, stalled the workers' compensation process, and it has done so to her detriment. The act was supposed to be liberally construed with a humane purpose. The deputy commissioner and the full commission specifically indicated, we're not going to stay these proceedings. Under these facts, we're not going to do it. At the time of the hearing, the declaratory action hadn't been filed. And from what I hear today, nothing's really going on with it. So shall we then sit around and wait for insurance companies to file deck actions, not do anything? And then what will the full commission and deputy commissioners do at then? It will just frustrate the whole purpose of the workers' compensation, and it's not judicially efficient. So on those grounds, we would ask on behalf of the estate that this court affirm the ruling of the commission and move forward and enter a final award in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Court, have any questions?
No further questions.
Thank you. You have, Mr. Strockley, you have 4 minutes remaining.
Thank you very much, Your Honors. I just wanted to address the sole point made by Mr. Rappaport when she spoke to the timeline of the case. And if the court will refer to the record, one of the things that the court will see was that on June 10th, 2013, Nationwide filed a motion before the commission saying, do you have jurisdiction to consider the coverage issue? And we asked, because at that point, Nationwide had been laboring, apparently, under an incorrect belief that the commission would be able to consider that, because there are certain circumstances in which the commission can consider coverage. It was not until the day before the hearing, July 8th, or possibly 2 days before the hearing, that the commission came back and said, no, we're not going to consider this coverage issue at the hearing. That's solely between you carriers. That's outside of our jurisdiction. And it was at that point that I appeared at the hearing in front of the commission. I said, well, in that case, then, if that's your ruling, and that's when I made the argument, you don't have jurisdiction to interargue against Nationwide, or please go ahead and stay the proceedings as to Nationwide. But that's an important asterisk to the timeline that I believe the court should be aware of. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll greet counsel and then take up VCU Health System versus Booth.